Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So I'm back. Catherine Whittaker's back. Matt's gone. Oh, no. Catherine, Matt's gone. And they've got to make do with me. What a shame. However, we've still got lots of tennis to talk about. And this is still the Tennis Podcast. We've had quite a day. I come to you from the tournament director's office at the Queen's Club, home of the Fevertree Championships, which starts in a couple of weeks' time. I've got blue sky and grass courts outside my window. Catherine, a very different sight to what I think you've probably got right now at the end of another tumultuous day at the French Open.
Well, I am sat in the exact position that Matt and I have recorded so many podcasts this fortnight at the French Open, but alas, I am sat alone drinking a lonely beer, sniff, sniff. I know, hearts are bleeding for me the world over. But yeah, there's a party going on outside in the outdoor area of the media restaurant, so Matt left just before the party.
Oh, no.
Maybe it's a party to celebrate his departure. I don't know who he annoyed, but it's the first party I've witnessed in these parts for quite some time. Maybe they're just big Marketa Vondrousova fans, and frankly, who wouldn't be?
No. Well, who wouldn't be after the performance she has just put in? Don't worry, folks. We're also going to talk about Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer, the fact that they've won through and they're going to meet for a 39th time. We'll cover all of that. But yeah, why don't we start there? Because that's the match that has just finished. I should say, by the way, after waiting all day for the tennis to finish and Catherine and myself to be able to get on a conversation to bring this edition of the Tennis Podcast to you, we've resolved that next year we need to send Matt for the whole 2 weeks because it seems to work pretty well when he's there. However, I get my chance to talk to you.
I've been statless today, David, statless.
Oh dear. I've tried from afar, but no, not been much help compared to him. Now, Marketa Vondrousova or Vondrousova, what are we calling it?
I go Vondrousova with a little bit of a shush sound on the S.
Okay, right. Well, we're doing that then.
I think that sounds good.
Okay. So she has just beaten Petra Martic in a quite beguiling match. I've watched so much of that over the last couple of hours, and it's like every single rally was a little masterpiece all of its own because of the way they just go about their tennis, hitting slices and angles and lofted balls and coming in, hitting drop volleys and just remarkable spins. They don't play tennis the way people play tennis most of the time in 2019.
Yeah, I was watching that match, imagining how much the old folks of tennis would have been enjoying it. You know, how many years now, how many decades have we been hearing, you know, Pat Cash's and Martina Navratilova's longing for variety to come back into fashion with tennis. And it feels like they chocked 20 years worth of slice and dice tennis into that one quarterfinal out on long len. Unfortunately, not a full long len. I wish it had been. It deserved to be. I mean, those that were in there made it feel full because they were loving it so much. It was a more than 2 hour long, a two set match, and it so could have gone to three. Vondrousova tried to serve it out at 5-4 and hit one of the worst double faults. I mean, I know outcome-wise, a double fault is a double fault, but this one, I mean, it almost should have cost her 2 points. It was such... It was one of yours, David. It practically bounced before the net. And I could almost feel the leadenness of her racket arm from... Well, I was actually only metres away. I was waiting in the bunker because I did the flash interview with her after the match. So we had arrived there at, you know, when she was leading with a break and was starting to settle in for a third set, but she pulled it out the bag. She really pulled it out the bag.
Mm. And yes, I can confirm that that is a serve that I've hit on many occasions, including against Catherine when it was at a particularly tense stage of our 12-10 match tiebreak in 2014, the only time we've ever played tennis against one another. So that puts Markéta Vondrousova, 19 years of age, into the semifinals against Johanna Konta of Great Britain. I mean... What a story that is. She has absolutely thrashed Sloane Stephens for the loss of 5 games. And I can't quite believe I'm saying that anyway, because of the fact that, you know, this is just not a storyline that we would have expected coming into the year. But I heard the way the three of you, Mary Carrillo and Matt, were talking about the tennis of Sloane Stephens last night. We've all agreed that she is one of the two or three best players in the world when her game is on, arguably the best. And I mean, it was a lengthy first game, and then I looked up and I had a little chat with somebody who was in this office that I'm talking to you from now. I mean, that chat took 10 minutes. I looked up again and it was 6-1.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. It was a, you know, I'm ashamed to say that I was waiting for Jo Konta to blink. I was waiting for her to blink and open the door a fraction for Sloane Stephens, and I thought if she'd done that, Sloane Stephens would probably have run through that door, and it didn't happen, and I'm blown away by the fact that it didn't happen. And, you know, Vondrousova and Konta, as much as their names that I'm not sure any of us put in the semi-finals, did you put them in? I mean, if I will analyse our prediction spreadsheet closely, but I for one can say I didn't have those two in the semi-finals.
No.
But they've played the best tennis in that half of the draw. They've played the best tennis.
Yeah, it's not a
question.
Fluke, is it? There's
no
fluke,
it's not.
There's no luck here at all.
No.
These two have just played such clean
yeah.
tennis.
And, you know, Chrissy Evert said in Eurosport commentary today that tennis from Jo Konta would have beaten anyone today. Sloane Stephens looked shocked. I thought she really looked shell-shocked by what came at her. It was just first-strike tennis. And look, we all know the deal with that kind of tennis, if it goes wrong, it goes horribly wrong. But if it goes right, it's pretty much unplayable. Not even the retrieval skills of Sloane Stephens could make inroads today. It was masterful, absolutely masterful from Jo Konta. And she looked in the aftermath and when she came to press like she was really able to enjoy it and appreciate it. And I don't know whether that's because there's an element of bonus to it all, that it's not as if she's just sort of achieving what she expected or put pressure on herself to achieve. She's, you know, it's all a little bit unexpected. I don't know what it is, but I'm pleased to see signs that she's really savouring this, because she deserves to.
Yeah, and actually, just to further the words you mentioned of Chris Evert, I was listening to that commentary and she said it was one of the best clay court matches ever. And Chris Evert has won the French Open 7 times. This woman has seen some tennis. This woman has played some tennis. And I'm sure there is an element of just the moment about that sort of comment, because when you watch tennis like that, you do get swept away. But then you actually look at the nuts and bolts of what we witnessed, and it's hard to imagine anybody playing better than that. And the thing is now, she's up against a player in Vondrousova, who Evert also said in the opening to your programme today that she is convinced that this woman will win a Grand Slam tournament. And And it really does whet the appetite, doesn't it? I mean, just to say, I had Vondrousova in the quarters, but I thought she would lose ultimately. I thought Kiki Bertens would come
through. Did you have a losing to Petra Martic, David?
I had a losing, put it that way, before the semi-finals. But no, I didn't go on that particular match. I thought Vondrousova would get it past Martic in the end, but that was a brilliant match. Konta, incidentally, on the subject of the way she looked, I noticed on the court, in the on-court interview afterwards, she just looked delirious with happiness. As you say, just quite disbelief, can't quite believe how wonderful this moment is. And I'm sure the fact that she's had the lows over the last couple of years has contributed to that, to make her feel like, oh, you know, I didn't know whether this was going to happen again.
I heard most of what you just said, David. There was a rather large, loud French announcement with jingle. They love an announcement with a jingle in these parts that drowned you out a little there. But I think I got the gist. And yeah, I it was a joy today. It was an absolute joy. And, you know, on one hand, I think I look at the matchup between Konta and Vondrousova and I think, wow, you know, Vondrousova's game is just so different to anything Konta's faced thus far. But then Stevens was something really different to what she had faced thus far. Her two previous opponents, Konta's, had been players with lovely ball striking ability, but that didn't hit the ball that well. hit the ball that well. Didn't move that well. That was what was, sorry, Matt, those were the two sort of defining traits of both Kuzmova and Donna Vekic. Lovely ball strikers, but not great movers. I mean, the absolute opposite for Sloane Stevens. Well, Sloane Stevens is a great ball striker and a great mover. I thought Sloane Stevens would just retrieve too many balls today for Konta. So the fact that she's beaten such different styles of opponents already makes me think, maybe. But she's going to have to hunker down for some drop shots, isn't she? And be patient. That's the key. And I feel like that's the key that's got her this far, to not worry about everything going her way or being played on her terms, to be a bit more mentally flexible. So if she can bring
this coach
that
has
against
been part of that as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, bless him. Bless Dmitry Zavialov, probably still in shell shock after his experience with the press yesterday. It was probably less stressful for him watching Joe Konta's quarterfinal than it was facing the British media yesterday. But I do think he's been crucial. And, you know, thinking more about what he said yesterday, because it took a bit of digesting because you know, it didn't come out what he had to say in very digestible form, but actually there was really interesting insight in there. And it's the sort of approach to coaching. Do you remember a chat we had at the Australian Open maybe last year with Jez Green about Alexander Zverev and about coaching in general, and the fact that you can only do a good job of coaching if you're not worried about getting fired? And there are a lot of coaches out there that I think part of their MO is trying to convince players how essential they are, how they couldn't be doing what they're doing without them in their corner, that they're somehow fundamental to what the player themselves is doing. Well, Dmitry Zavialov, his approach seems to be almost, you know, bordering on talking himself out of a job, you know, the not quite mind games. I think that's too negative a slant to put on it. The way he sort of plants ideas in her head and lets her come to things herself, and lets her have autonomy over herself. Yeah. That's, you know, well, I mean, Mary Carrillo said it yesterday, didn't she? It's like parenting. You know, you've done your job when you make yourself redundant, or you at least make your child/charge feel like you're redundant. And I think that's a really interesting mental dynamic. And I do think, you know, I'm loath to say he's the secret of her success or anything, because I think she's the secret to her own success. But I think he has absolutely nailed the approach to that coaching relationship.
Yeah. I've seen these two players, Vondrousova and Konta, play each other twice. And the first one was a win for Vondrousova on hard courts, I think Indian Wells last year. And that was straight sets. The second one was in Rome a couple of weeks ago, and Konta won handily. Frankly, Vondrousova was on fumes. She'd put so much into her previous rounds, and she'd just got nothing left in the tank. And that's nothing, not to take away anything from Konta, but it just wasn't the match we were expecting at all. There were no drop shots. We were expecting 100 drop shots from Vondrousova, because that's what we'd seen in the previous round, and it was Konta hitting all the drop shots. So it'll be very interesting. I can imagine.
I love
this
that
being
though.
Really
it's
close.
Almost a kind of, well, I don't want her to drop shot me, so I'm going to drop shot her first.
Yeah, that's what it was like. It was, and it was.
Oh, I'm so up for that on Thursday.
This will be a way better match though, because they're both fresher, they're both in form, and I think we could be looking at a 10-8 in the third. I really do.
Oh, yes, please.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal are going to face each other in the semi-finals of the French Open in a couple of days' time. And let me just tell you a few stats here, just to put this into perspective. Roger Federer has not played the French Open for 4 years. He has suddenly, at the age of nearly 38, reached the semi-finals. He's up against a guy in Nadal who's beaten Kei Nishikori in straight sets today. Nishikori, there wasn't a lot left of him, quite honestly, after his 5-set exploits the last couple of days. Nadal has a 23-15 record against Federer. Nadal has a 5-0 record against Federer at Roland Garros. But Federer has won their last 5 meetings. He hasn't beaten him for 5 years, Nadal. There's just so much to this. And I find myself just in disbelief that we're going to get to see this match again at Roland Garros.
Is Matt Roberts inside your brain, David?
He's lent me his head.
Are you just reading out the Tennis Podcast Twitter feed?
No, I've just sort of borrowed his intelligence for a couple of hours.
I'll take it. Yeah, I mean, look, there are so many poetic quotes coming out from both of them about it. Federer said, I think in French he said this, if I came back to play on clay, it must have been to play Rafa. You know, there's a feeling. Federer seems to be bigging up the sense of destiny about this all. I mean, I'd like to think that he's more of a logical person than to believe in destiny. But it's easy.
You
it's
don't
so
believe
easy.
In destiny?
I do not, David. I do not.
We were destined to be on the podcast together.
That will surprise no one. But I totally understand how easy it is to get swept up in the romance of it all and to suddenly find yourself believing in destiny. You know, Nadal said about Federer in his press conference, we shared the most important moments of our career together on court facing each other. There's another episode of this. Let's try to be ready for it. You know, they're loving it, David. They're both absolutely loving the fact that this is happening, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of their matches today, I didn't see, I mean, I saw practically zero of Nadal versus Nishikori. What impression I did get of it was via my brother's texting, which was mostly just about how annoyed you would be if you had a ticket for Chatrier today rather than a ticket for Longlen. And just how frustrating it is that Nishikori can be such a great and watchable tennis player, and yet he always gets into these big matches and is just completely unable to compete. And it's really annoying, David. It's really annoying. Let's be honest. I know he's doing his absolute best.
It's impressive and frustrating at the same time, isn't it?
It is. It's impressive that he gets there. It's impressive that he battles through what he does and fights against the odds. Although if Matt were here, he'd be saying, well, he only battles because he finds himself in battles that he shouldn't need to be. But my brother's proposal is that you just give Nishikori a special mini trophy for winning the first week, and then you put a lucky loser through to the quarters. Everyone's a winner, David. Nishikori gets a trophy. The spectators get a match. What do we think? What do we think?
It's like the Everton Cup, isn't it, in the Premier League, where you know there's the top five, and then there's everybody else is competing for sixth place in the Premier League, and that's the Everton Cup because they always finish sixth.
Cup for Kei Nishikori.
The Nishikori Cup. That's what it's going to be called, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, we might have to work on a few of the details, but there we are. I don't want to be too unkind to him because, I mean, I think the other thing is he was playing Nadal,
But the thing is, you know that Nishikori, at his very best, because we've seen it, can actually compete with these guys. He just can't do it over best of five sets at the latter stages of a slam because of how much he's already expended to get there.
Yeah. It just would have been nice to have seen him at his tip-top best and fresh as he could be to see how that would have got on.
But Simon Reid's words were, Nadal is through, he's beaten what's left of Kei Nishikori 6-1, 6-1, 6-3. I think that summed it up brilliantly.
Meanwhile, Roger Federer beat Stan Wawrinka in four just wonderful sets of tennis. It wasn't at the level of Tsitsipas Wawrinka a couple of days ago. It never got quite as dramatic as that. Obviously, it was over in four sets.
Is that because they like one another too much?
Possibly.
Because there was no spice?
Well,
oh,
I mean,
God,
don't
there's more announcements, David. The doors are closing. There we go. Stadium gates closing to the public, as you
right.
were.
So, okay. Well, we better crack on then before Catherine gets locked
it's
in.
It's a lock-in.
Okay, it's a Roland Garros lock-in. Awesome. let's not forget, Wawrinka is quite happy to mix it with anybody. Let's not forget what he and Federer fell out about at the ATP Finals a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Once he gets in the moment of a match, I think the friendship element kind of goes out the window. He's still...
That was Cedric Mourier stirring the pot, though, wasn't it?
Well, yes, I know it was, but I don't think... I think Wawrinka, at the particular moment that he's playing, doesn't care for any of it. He just cracks on and tries to win. Now, I think Federer's game causes him problems because it rushes him and takes his time away. And look, he must have been fatigued today. As wonderful a sort of sturdy athlete as he is, he must have been just a little bit short of spring versus a player who had been through in straight sets every day, which is what Federer had been. And Federer did play beautifully today. Even then, though, it was really close. It felt close.
Sturdy is like the most unglamorous adjective that has ever been used to describe an athlete.
Yeah, but it's apt, isn't it?
Describe Stan Wawrinka in three words. Sturdy.
Earthy.
Earthy.
Agricultural. I've used my three words up. I mean, I've got nothing else left. But he is also. No, I'll try and rescue this. he is also. He always makes me think of a number of superheroes from the Marvel comics.
Is there an agricultural Marvel comic superhero that I should know about?
Tractor Man.
Pole Vault, who is the most agricultural superhero? Do you think it's very late here, David? You can't hit me with this stuff. Do you think anyone's ever described Roger Federer as agricultural?
Well,
he had that cow, didn't he?
That's true. That's true. He did, and yes, I think there is.
Remind
a certain,
me what the cow was called.
Juliet was the first one, and then that one died, and then there were others. This is how many years Roger Federer has been going at it. He's had a number of cows.
It's like the Blue Peter pet.
He's outlived all of his cows. I
went to the Legends All Access horror show yesterday. I mean, it's wonderful to be able to speak to a smorgasbord of legends, but the way in which it happens is soul destroying. It's sort of just grabbing at multiple Grand Slam champions and pulling them in your direction and trying to gain some kind of broadcastable material from them, despite the ridiculous level of background noise and people walking across the shot in the background. It's just a nightmare. But anyway, I was sent there with a focus on trying to get quotes on Federer, Wawrinka, and Federer more generally. And all the blokes I was getting quotes from were either younger than him or his contemporaries. You know, James Blake, Marat Safin, Tommy Haas. It's like, how ridiculous is it that he's still out there reaching the semi-finals of the... I mean, at the time it was the quarter-finals, but what must they think? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's just... We've said it all before, and yet it still bears repeating, doesn't it? It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous what he's doing.
Particularly the way he still plays and the way he still moves around like he's 19. And when you consider that in 1999, when he played his first French Open, all of the other 127 players that were in that draw have now retired.
Well, one of them is Casper Ruud's dad. It's getting ridiculous.
Casper Ruud, who he beat in the, about three rounds ago. Oh, dear.
It's
bonkers.
It's nuts. And this is his most successful Grand Slam for nearly 18 months, since the Australian Open 2018.
And, you know, a great line from Pat Cash in the Eurosport coverage just at the end there that I was listening to, and it takes me back to the Rafael Nadal story, the special podcast that we did just ahead of this tournament, still available for you to go and listen to if you'd like to listen to that. And Pat Cash was saying about Federer that a little bit like how we kind of look at Nadal's game as being designed to beat Federer. Now, I don't think it's not specifically aimed at doing that as such. It just happened to be put together in a way that was the perfect antidote to Roger Federer's skill set. Federer has redesigned his game, says Pat Cash, in order to beat Nadal. And I just think that that's so fascinating. And I really think it's true. Between him and Severin Luthi, and particularly Ivan Ljubicic coming on board, he's won five in a row, having been unable to get... He was like 23-10 behind. He's now 23-15 behind. So... And it's all built from what we can see on this, just taking it to Nadal and just smashing his backhand as hard as he possibly can at Nadal and not rallying with it. So, but this will be the first chance he's had to have a go at him on clay in that period. Oh, my goodness.
And you know he's looking forward to it like a big kid, don't you? You just know it.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh.
Do you need a night to think about that?
Matt never asked me that, David.
Well, you were presenting.
Where's Matt?
Not anymore.
I'm sat across from an empty chair with a sad a sad lonely beer and somebody firing unanswerable questions at me. I think that it's going to be a Federer Nadal clay court match the like of which we've not seen before.
All of their French Open matches, all five of them, have been four sets or less. Four of them have gone four sets. One of them has been straight sets. Nadal has won the lot of them.
I think it'll be at least four sets. Look, I'm picking Nadal. I think I don't think it's going to be like Federer, Nadal, clay court matches have been sort of most recently. I know we haven't had a particularly recent example, but the most recent ones we've had were very much in Nadal's favour. I think that it's going to be pretty different because I think new Federer hasn't played Nadal on clay.
No, well, you're right. And I tell you, one of the stat that I love, and I didn't realize this, I mean, Federer fans won't love this, but this is a stat. Federer hasn't beaten Nadal from a set down for 12 years.
And
he's only done it twice in all of their matches.
Well, he's got to win the first set.
He better win the first set, Rog. He did win the first set. The other time that he won the first set was at Roland Garros, the second time they met, and he won the first set 6-1, but then ended up losing in four. So,
do you think Federer is... I mean, this feels absurd to say, and maybe it'll all be cancelled out by the fact that this is Roland Garros and he's an 11-time champion, but do you think Federer is in Nadal's head a bit? The fact that Federer has won the last five, the fact that he once had such a hold over him, and that feels like the tide has turned.
I think he is in his head generally, but not there. Because I think all of the Roland Garros memories will come back, all the clay court memories will come back to just negate the recency of that record. That's my feeling, and I think Nadal is playing so well too.
Who will the crowd be with?
I think they'll be very pro Federer, pro Federer. And it's nothing against Nadal, but I think that the French Open crowd over the years has become a little they've start to suffer a bit of Nadal fatigue. He's won the thing 11 times, and I think if Nadal faces Djokovic, I think they cheer for Djokovic personally. It's not 80-20. I think we're talking 60-40 or 55-45 for Djokovic. Mm. I think for Federer and Nadal, I think you're looking at 75-25.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And there's also the factor that, I mean, I think I feel this even more so now. I know I keep harping on about it, but the fact he's made the semifinals, the fact that every match from now on will be Chatrier, I really do think that more likely than not, this is the last time we'll see Federer here. I do.
It'd be a great way to go out, as long as he's not thumped in for about the loss of four games the way he was in 2008. 6-1, 6-3, 6-love.
I struggle to see that, honestly. I do.
Me too. But I don't see that either.
Yeah.
Federer is actually a better player than he was then.
I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but I've just been reminded of something by Twitter, which is that we're thinking several rounds ahead here because Halep isn't even into the semis yet. She faces Anna Samovic tomorrow. I'm really going to have to practice getting her name right. Vondrousova has beaten Halep the last two times they played. And do you remember that? Do you remember we referenced it on the pod, actually, the pre-tournament press conference that Halep did, where she talked about her run on clay. And she talked about losing to Vondrousova in Rome, and she said that thing about, I don't count that. I don't count those losses to Vondrousova. And I speculated about maybe it was because, like, in her head, Vondrousova is this sort of bogey player, you know, like Santoro and Safin. I don't know. I'm getting way ahead of myself, and I'll stop now.
Interesting, though.
Oh. But
Still to come.
Every matchup left in the... I mean, look, frankly, in both draws. But in fact, definitely in both draws. Every matchup left.
It's one of the all-time
really,
French Opens.
It's really great. Yeah,
it's
I think
such
so.
A good French Open. Okay, let's have a look at the order of play for tomorrow, and then you can go and get your latest cheese board. Philippe Chatrier, although actually you seem to have been turned off cheese boards because of the one you got served up in the media cafe yesterday. That one seems to have turned you.
I was served a paper-thin crepe, David. A paper-thin crepe with one slice of ham. And when you go to the supermarket and you buy like one of those whole like wheels of goat's cheese, so paper thin crepe, one slice of ham, and three entire wheels of goat's cheese, and then they sprinkled like some kind of cheddar on top of it. It was absolutely bananas. I didn't know what. And it was one of those what they call. They call it animation cooking, which is it's translated into English on the menu as show cooking, where they cook it before they cook it in front of you. So I'm watching these three extravagant. I mean, I thought the first lump was pretty extravagant, and then she put another two of them in there, and I felt like
she
I
obviously heard your reputation.
I thought I was being pranked. It was nuts. Absolutely okay. Nuts. This canteen is a real low point.
It was nuts and it was bananas, and frankly, she'd have loved to have lapped both of those up. Anyway, Simona Halep against, let's just call Anisimova, let's just call her the backhand. Okay?
The interviewee, the backhand. No. Yeah.
Simona Halep against the backhand on Philippe Chatrier Court at 1 o'clock local time, Central European time, followed by Novak Djokovic against Alexander Zverev. Oh, I don't know. What do you
Shall
think?
I give you a Matt Roberts-esque stat?
Go on.
There are only 80 players. There are 80 players that have played Novak Djokovic five or more times, and only one of them has a winning head-to-head. You spend your whole day on Twitter, so I'm sure you know who that is.
I do.
Go on, then.
Andy Roddick.
He said on Twitter that's why he retired, in order to preserve that record.
Oh, that's a brilliant Roddick line, yeah.
But that it's pertinent because Zverev currently has a 2-2 record against Djokovic.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's very interesting. All right. Well, okay. Predictions in the newsletter then overnight for Zverev and Djokovic. Longlin is starting with Madison Keys against Ash Barty. That's another just fascinating match.
Yes, please. Yeah.
You could call that both ways, couldn't you? So this is so irritating. These matches are on at the same time.
Mm.
Keys and Barty and Halep and Anisimova, and then Djokovic and Zverev, and then the second match on Longlin is Team against Khachanov. They're basically going to have to bring out a special kind of ball to withstand the hitting in that match.
It bothers me that both the women's matches are on first, but it's no surprise, but there it is.
It's just a shame that we end up missing tennis as a result of them all going at the same time. Anyway, we should probably stop complaining because it's all pretty good still. Catherine, go and relax and drink your beers and so forth. Anything else you need to tell us before you go?
The party has subsided.
Okay.
I've podcasted right through the party and beyond.
Awesome.
I'm literally just sat in an empty, empty cavernous room in the corner alone.
With the gates locked.
locked in with a lonely beer, wondering what I did to Matt to make him abandon me. But I'm sure he's enjoying his nice clean clothes.
Yes. Yeah, finally. Look, by the end of this year, we're running our Kickstarter again, and one of the goals will be to be able to afford not only laundry for Matt Roberts, but to be able to send him for the entirety of
that
the French
will be
Open.
The headline of our campaign: pay for us to be able to subsidise Matt's pant washing.
Yes, exactly. So that's coming at the end of the year.
Catchy.
But for now, this has been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and executive produced by TennisBalls.com with our mascot Rio with a Y. Make sure you tell your mates and all your followers on Twitter and all your Facebook pals. I don't even know the terminology, but these are the things I'm getting used to doing.
Facebook pals. You sound like my grandpa, David.
Yeah,
goodness me. Well,
get everybody to follow the Tennis Podcast and start listening and join the club and review us on iTunes. We've got a club. I didn't even know we got a club. Suddenly we've got a club. And we'll be back tomorrow. See ya. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.